Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2, available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
Suppose you sat down tonight and wrote out a copy of this little talk I'm about to give, okay? I know you're not likely to do that, but just imagine. Suppose 20 years later, when you're worried the ink might fade, your son makes a copy of your copy. Now, his copy becomes the basis of the next copy 20 years after that. Imagine this process took place every 20 years for the next 1,000 years. That's 50 copies later, I'm pretty sure. Now imagine it's the year 3006, and a debate flares up about whether you can trust the modern copy of this ancient talk by John Dixon. What would it take to show that changes hadn't taken place over the 1,000 years of hand copying? What if an ancient copy was discovered? What if archaeologists digging the ruins of your house found a large section of the copy you had made 1,000 years before, in 2006? Surely if they found this and then compared it to the modern copy in 3006, they'd discover what sort of changes had taken place. Well, by an amazing stroke of luck, something similar to this actually did happen with a huge section of the Bible. In the spring of 1947, an Arab shepherd boy was searching for one of his goats among the valleys near the Dead Sea. Along the way, he threw a rock into a hillside cave and heard the sound of breaking pottery. He climbed in to investigate and found pottery jars containing leather scrolls wrapped in linen. These leather scrolls, called the Dead Sea Scrolls, turned out to be one of the most significant discoveries of modern archaeology. Among them were large sections of the Old Testament, about 2,000 years old. Now, before this find, the oldest copy of the Old Testament was dated to AD 900. These Dead Sea Scrolls were 1,000 years older. When the Dead Sea Scroll versions of the Old Testament were compared with the manuscripts made 1,000 years later, scholars realized that the accuracy was astounding. What we read now is in fact what was written thousands of years ago. The ancient scribes did their job very, very well. Anyone who argues that mistakes were overlooked in the copying process and that this makes the Bible unreliable probably needs to think again. Okay, let's suppose that nothing really was, lost in translation. Let's suppose the scribes didn't make deliberate changes. Let's even suppose that scribes made no significant accidental errors. That still leaves one huge question unanswered. How do we know the original authors were telling the truth in the first place? Maybe the Bible is simply a well-preserved lie. If Jesus never actually did and said the things Christians say he did, that makes Christianity little more than a bad joke. So let me focus on the Gospels, the accounts of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The first thing to remember is that these four books are based on eyewitness accounts. Two of them, Luke and Mark, were written by men who personally knew or interviewed eyewitnesses. This would be like you interviewing me to write an essay on my wife, Buff. The other two, that's Matthew and John, may have come from the eyewitnesses themselves, men who travelled and worked with Jesus over 3 years. This would be like me writing an essay on Buff. The second thing to keep in mind is that many of the eyewitnesses were either imprisoned or executed for proclaiming what they'd seen. You've got to ask yourself, if it was a lie and they knew it, why did they die for it? I mean, it's one thing to die for something you simply believe in. Heaps of people have died for mere ideologies. But it's another thing entirely to die for something you actually know is false. Imagine I came to you and said that I'd seen a UFO land in my backyard. Suppose it was illegal to make such claims, and as a result, I was thrown in prison until I retracted my statement. Add to this picture hundreds of other eyewitnesses, all of them claiming to have seen the same UFO, all thrown into prison, and after several months, all executed along with me for our belief that that we'd seen a UFO. What would you conclude? At the very least, you'd have to conclude that we all really believed a UFO had landed in my backyard. The big problem you'd then have is working out how on earth hundreds of normal, sane individuals came to believe they'd seen a UFO. Was it drugs? Was it an optical illusion? Whatever it was, it wouldn't have been a lie. When you come to the Gospels, you have a similar problem, only bigger. What caused these people to really believe they'd seen Jesus teach, heal, die, and then rise again? Could it have been a 3-year-long optical illusion? If they'd simply made the whole thing up, why did they bother dying for something they knew to be a lie? Even those who weren't imprisoned or killed for their claims still had to endure family ridicule, loss of jobs, and many other forms of persecution. It's almost embarrassing to think that I once so ignorantly dismissed the Gospels as mere stories. Now I realise that nobody bothers dying for a fairy tale. As I said last night, people often say there are myths in the Bible. But actually, the real myths are those about the Bible. Myth 1, something was lost in the process of translating the Bible. Myth 2, the ancient scribes made deliberate changes. Myth 3, accidental errors made by the scribes undo the Bible. Myth 4, the Bible is simply a well-preserved lie. These are four of the most common comments about the Bible, and they can all be shown to be myths. Many of us have a hunch that the Bible is worth respecting, but we somehow have these myths in the background discouraging us from ever picking up the Bible and reading it for ourselves. I guess I want to say, go with your hunch, not the myths. Read the Bible for yourself. If you've not explored the Bible much in the past, why not start with something really brief like the Gospel of Mark? This is the shortest of the four accounts of Jesus' life. It's a great place to begin your journey into this incredible book. I think you'll find that the best argument for the Bible is the Bible itself.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.